Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hauser, man, what kind of Loverboy fan are you? Do you get? Does the phone have five or six Loverboy tunes on it? Do you have that on your Spotify?
I actually do have a couple of Loverboy tunes on my Spotify, including Working for the Weekend, which yep. I used to enjoy playing back when jukeboxes were a thing at Tiffany's mm-hmm. Sports Lounge near St. Thomas back in 1981. That was one of the songs that would get played quite frequently on Fridays.
Tiff's, as a lot of people call it, it's still around, right? Isn't it still fairly popular?
Oh, it's bigger and better than ever. When I used to go there in college, it was kind of a little hole in the wall. It had no windows, but it was a great St. Thomas hangout. Now, Blake Monpettit has expanded it. It's probably triple the size it was. TVs everywhere. It's a great place to watch football. Somehow it's become a big KU sports bar. So if you go in there, it's
How
either
did that happen?
Or KU basketball and football,
wow.
especially basketball. I don't know how it happened. You know how that is in certain places. Mm-hmm. You know, look for a place where everybody can meet, and then it just kind of organically turns into a KU bar. I know when I used to live in Des Moines, it was funny because they don't have a professional, you know, major league team. So there would mm-hmm. be Green Bay Packer bars, there'd be Viking bars, Bears bars, and Chiefs bars because Des Moines is in between all four of those cities.
So okay, text us. Yeah, text us right now, 651-461-9226. Where are the definitive sports, and it can be college or pros? I don't think we have high school sports bars, but maybe we do, and I'm not aware of it. Where are the definitive bars? I think of Allery's and the Bears. We have numerous Packer places. So I want to hear from other people. I also want to announce, and I know you told me this in private, but I need to tell everybody, and Dave, I'm going to tell you first. Tom is donating $20 million to St. Thomas.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
great.
Isn't that a nice gesture?
Thank you.
Congratulations,
we're gonna
Tom.
We're going to double the size of the football stadium. This is just the seed money to do that.
It feels like St. Thomas gets about $20 million from somebody about every other day. It is a fundraising machine.
And I might add, a very fine institution, which is why it attracts that kind of money. You got to remember Lee and Penny Anderson, who donated so much money for that yep. basketball and hockey arena, did not attend St. Thomas, but they were at an event and were really taken by what
yep.
what they saw there and the mission of the university. And millions of dollars have flowed from that, and for good reason, I believe. But of course, I have a bit of a bias in that area.
Yeah, there's 5,042 Housers who've attended St. Thomas. For the
15,
Steelers.
But yeah. you round it up.
yes, exactly. 651-461-9226. Which bars are tied to which teams? For the Steelers, McGovern's in St. Paul. I haven't been to McGovern's in a long time. Has that become a Steelers place? I'll trust the texture. Bunnies.
It probably has. I'm not aware of it, but yeah, McGovern's still going strong. It's a great, great place.
Yeah, for sure. Bunnies is a Jayhawk bar. Bunnies is, I think it's the capital of Edina and St. Louis Park. I feel it's like every person.
It's an Edina Hornet. It's an Edina Hornet bar too. You were talking about. Do we have?
Oh yeah, that's
high school
true.
Sports bars. There's a lot of Edina people who hang out there, even though Bunny's is in St. Louis Park.
St. Louis Park. Yes, yes, it is. Bunny's is a money making machine, man. I mean, I don't remember ever going to Bunny's when it was not packed. So keep them coming in.
Remember when Mike Tice had his own parking spot there?
Oh, for sure.
Vikings.
Yes.
He kept that for quite some time.
Yes, he did. He and he was a regular. It wasn't like it was an honorary one. He used it and would get mad if people were in his spot. Let's get to some national news first, and then we'll take a break and get to St. Paul. So the White House, when word came out in the last 45 minutes or so that there was a rescind of the big announcement yesterday on federal grants, and you had the judge stepping in. So they're now stopping it. But Carolyn Leavitt, the press secretary, is saying, we've only rescinded the OMB memo, that we have not rescinded the entire order because they're reacting to the OMB memo. So while there was plenty of confusion yesterday, Tom, when this initially came out, what was involved, why did it happen, shouldn't Congress be involved, I think there's going to be more confusion over the next hour or two, right? Well, what does this mean? If you're continuing the freeze, but the OMB memo is stopped, how is that different than where we thought we were at this point yesterday before the federal judge put the temporary stop to it?
I've got news for you. There's 4 years of confusion ahead because we're going to see a lot of moves like this as Donald Trump tries to shake up the status quo. And that's exactly what Tom Emmer's quote was yesterday. This is why President Trump was elected. And you can quibble with that, but the overall argument, people, I think, pretty much knew what they were getting when they elected him. And I know, you know, popular vote, it was a very close election. He had 49, almost 50%, but not quite 50, a bigger electoral college victory. But his election he views as a mandate to shake things up, and that's what he's doing. In terms of this exact order, it was confusing yesterday whether this was an executive order or just a memo from OMB that was dictating this. And what is the difference? You know, I guess the difference doesn't really matter. The effect was kind of the same in terms of what they were trying to do. A federal judge immediately said, well, we're not sure you can usurp the authority of the legislative branch, which, you know, still holds the purse strings, control of the purse strings. So,
which seems to make sense, right?
Yes, it does. I mean, there's a separation of powers, and, you know, all of the funding of government starts, you know, in the House of Representatives, and then the House and the Senate come together and reach a bill, and then it's signed by the president, and the current funding was signed by President Biden, but you can't, a subsequent president can't just come in and just undo what the legislative branch did previously. So, the Caroline Leavitt thing, I didn't realize they were now even backpedaling on their backpedaling.
Yeah,
so right. I'll have to study that a little bit further and see what is next.
Here's what I would say, too. You're right that many of Trump's voters want disruption. I don't think that means, though, that you have to agree with every decision the president offers up and the method he chooses, right? If you say, yeah, I want him to shake it up, that I don't think that means, Tom, you're required then to agree with 100% of the decisions. And, you know, why did he win? He won on immigration and he won on the economy. Right. Those are the two biggest issues. And clearly there's been a great deal of action on immigration. But on the economy, and listen, He's 9 days into this. Nobody expected all of a sudden there was going to be dramatic changes. I think they're just being more realistic now that there's a lot going on, and it takes months and months and a lot of times years to truly have a major effect on the economy. But at some point, by the time, let's say, I don't know, in the summer, in the fall, I think it's fair to say then, Tom, not right now. It's 9 days. Let's knock it off. But at some point, let's say by September 1st, what has changed with the economy under President Trump compared to Joe Biden? Would you agree with that part?
Oh, absolutely. And getting back to your point about you don't think all of the Trump voters, they wanted disruption, but not in every aspect of life. And I will guarantee you that there are millions of Trump voters who rely on federal aid for child care, health care, disability services, highway construction, law enforcement. I don't think they were voting for the flow of money to those programs that they may benefit from because they need them.
Exactly.
I don't think they voted for that. And so that's one of the things you have to keep in mind.
Let's pause, talk about St. Paul. Will a deal happen today, as Melissa Hortman indicated, at this time 24 hours ago? What does Tom have to say about this? He's as plugged in as anybody. Hauser, right back with us on CCO. Right back with our guy Tom Hauser. His excellent work available to you on a regular basis on Channel 5 and on this show on a semi-regular basis, and also fills in frequently for Vanita. So I thought it was interesting the approach that Hortman was taking, that I'm going to be an optimist, I'm going to send out positive feelings. We're getting close. But then when I ask her about the two key issues, how long can Lisa Daymuth be speaker, and will the Republicans seat Brad Tapke, sounded to me like, Tom, zero progress had been made. But she was seemingly, and you listen, confident that today a deal would happen. Are you getting any sense from your sources that before this day is done, the Minnesota House will strike a deal and normal order will start very soon?
This just in, no talks currently taking place, no talks currently scheduled between House Republicans and Democrats. So I do not anticipate a major breakthrough before their 3:30 session today, which will likely be another 3 to 4 minutes, no quorum, we are adjourned session.
So can we just toss the optimism in the garbage over here?
I did listen to your interview yesterday because that was her only availability that we had to her until 4:30 when she and Jamie Long, Representative Jamie Long, did a Zoom conference after the 3:30 session. And she sounded very optimistic on your show, less optimistic at 4:30 when she did acknowledge she likes to be a glass half full type of person. And I totally appreciate that. But the reality is every time I would hear her spin the optimistic tone, then I would talk to my sources on the Republican side and they would say, we're not sure what she's talking about because there is no progress, or at least no major progress.
Yep. If the two of us were going to act as the mediators and strike the deal, I guess here's what I would say. Seat Tapke and give Daymuth the speakership for maybe another 6 weeks. First of all, why don't we have an election scheduled yet? Why hasn't Walz scheduled the election?
Well, it's a weird quirk in state law. He can't even set the election date until 22 days after the session begins. So that will be February 5th. So, and again, an odd quirk in the law. So he can't set it. Now, when I say it's an odd quirk in the law, why he tried to set it when he did, which seemed to me on its face blatantly illegal, and the Supreme Court agreed, I'm not sure why that step happened, but So February 5th is when he can announce it, and then there has to be a certain number of days before it can take place. And I originally thought that was going to be around March 4th. I think that's Tuesday, but I think now it's March 11th appears to be the date. You know, you're talking about compromises. One thing, and I don't know if this is total conjecture on my part. You could say, okay, Representative Damuth is Speaker this year, and next year,
yeah,
Melissa Hortman is Speaker. Mm-hmm. You could argue that would favor Republicans because this is a budget year. It's a big session. You know, generally more mm-hmm. important decisions are being made. But whether or not they've discussed anything like that, I have no idea. That is just pure conjecture. But it's one of the things you could use to throw out there. Now, it may be rejected immediately by Democrats. But so there are things they can talk about, you know, beyond the shape of the negotiating table. I'm just not sure what it is because, as usual, everything is behind closed doors.
Yeah, I might even take it further. When you remind me now it's March 11th, 95% of Democrats going to win that seat. Then it takes a few days for the process. Now we're middle March, right? If they even just said, yeah, Damuth, you're Speaker the rest of this session. You just are. You know, the Democrats put themselves in this position by a number of them knowing that Curtis Johnson wasn't eligible to run. Ryan Winkler, who is a pretty strong Democrat, in the Star Tribune and then with Adam last week, pretty much savaged Democrats for not stepping up. I would make this argument. Maybe what the Democrats have to accept is, yeah, you get Tapke. And so it's in the end, Damuth is Speaker, but it's still 67-67. You now have the one vote margin in the Senate. You have laws. You get Damuth this year, but then you get the Sharon agreement next year. They created this situation, Tom. The Democrats created this by running someone who wasn't eligible to run for office. So they should face some punishment. The Tapke situation, that's where Damuth has to step up and say, we have to accept the court's decision. We think there should have been another election, but the courts have sided. We're going to respect the courts, and we're going to see Tapke. I think I've just solved it, Tom. I mean, have I just solved the issue?
I know Hortman said yesterday that you should get involved. I don't know why you haven't.
I think that's a fair question. Outside of the fact, I need them to fly out here for any negotiations.
Well, I don't know that this thing is going to be solved this week. And if it's not, you know, you get into next week, you're going to be talking about the beginning of week four of the legislative session with nothing happening. Everybody's getting paid, including the Democrats, who are not even stepping foot in the Capitol. Now, I know they're doing mm-hmm. work of some kind in their districts, but they're not stepping foot in the Capitol, and they're still getting paid. And I should mention, Republicans are also getting paid, even though everything they're kind of doing here now is kind of window dressing, but they are showing up on the House floor as prescribed by law.
Who is going to run? Tina Smith was a part of the hearings with RFK Jr. They were very, very feisty. Do you have a better feel of Republicans who might run for that seat? Or are we talking about some of the same people, like a Staubert, as an example, who might be debating, am I running for the Senate seat or am I running for the governor's seat, governor's position?
Yeah, you know, that's hard to say because both of Republicans need candidates for both of those. Now, in fairness and in full disclosure, Royce White has already thrown in his name for the Tina Smith seat.
Oh, goody.
So whether or he's going to end up with the endorsement again like he did against Klobuchar remains to be seen. That didn't go well the last time. Tina Smith is more vulnerable, I think. Although you got to remember, it is a midterm election of a sitting president. Those generally go better for the team not in the White House.
True.
And that would be Democrats. So Tina Smith could benefit from that if she decides to run again. We do not know 100% definitively whether she plans to run again. In terms of the names, I think, you know, Sauber is certainly a possibility. He's got a pretty safe congressional seat. A lot of it is going to be the calculus. Do they want to put that?
Uh-oh. The phone was kind of iffy. And then he vanished, Dave. Is that pretty much where we're at?
Tom has disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah. What if it's Hortman who has the power to end his phone call and didn't like his suggestion on Damoth? Can we eliminate that?
I've got Mr. Hauser back now.
Oh, we do? Okay. We got you back. The phone was crackling, but we got to finish. If it's not Stauber, do you have any other names that prominent Republicans you think are considering this? Where's Kendall Qualls in this mix? And by the way, where's my friend Michelle Tafoya in this mix?
I mean, anything they will be pure conjecture because I have not heard anything. I've heard some people talk about people who they'd like to see run. I think I mentioned before Julia Coleman, who is a Republican senator, state senator.
There we go. He's gone again. We got to let him go, Dave. Love the guy. He's a regular. He's a tremendous human. But the phone is just not working this time. It happens. It's a part of the radio business. It's part of our life, right? How many times has that happened to us? Maybe, hopefully not daily, but it's a part of this situation. It's 33 past 1 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Okay, news came out yesterday. We talked about it a couple different times. What is it? The Minnesota Yacht Club? Is that what we're calling the Minnesota music event again?
Yes, Minnesota Yacht Club Music Festival.
Right. So, a lot of acts we like, right?
Yes.
Carter chimed in, too. A lot of acts he likes. And it's at Harriet Island. And I mentioned I've been to Harriet Island for multiple shows. My two favorites in the, somewhere in the 80s, mid to late 80s, a Van Morrison show and a Sting show. Both just beautiful days. So it made me think, and we didn't get to it yesterday. I want you to chime in. If you can see an act that you really like, you love them, and you can only see them at one location, and let's just go the metro area. Where are you going? Where is your place? Like Hozier's at this. Alabama Shakes is at that. As at the event. Foo Fighters were here. Taylor's been here. Because some people, Dave, they like the enormous show.
Yeah.
They want the spectacle of 50,000 people.
The giant stage show, the lights, the whole deal.
Exactly. Others, because I'm old school on this, and there are a lot of places I like, I still would pick First Ave. I still would pick First Ave. There is, I don't know. What do we got? What is our guess? I could call Conrad and the gang over there, but are we 600-700 at a First Ave show if it's packed? I'm just guessing. Does that seem about right?
Looking it up right now. Let's see. It says here what I'm looking at right now, 1,550 person capacity venue.
Man. Well, you know where I'm not going to work? Meet Minneapolis. Because Meet Minneapolis would have suggested 500,000 people can attend a show at First Ave, and I was underselling it. Man, it doesn't seem like 1,500.
But no, it doesn't, but they can pack them in. There's no question about that.
I love First Avenue. Number two on my list, probably the Armory. I think the Armory is fantastic. Where do you stand on the Palace?
I've never been.
It's really good. It's really, really good. So if you could see a show anywhere in town, and yes, the texts have come in, Journey in my backyard. Okay, I got it. And Journey in my backyard, and I am stapled to my seat and cannot leave.
Yes.
I'm forced to listen.
And you know what? We've got REO and Styx opening, too.
Oh, my God. I seriously, take me now. I mean, if the choice is, you know, it's been an okay run. Maybe not the greatest run, but okay. Just if that's the option or it's over, I might say over. Where's Dave Harrigan going?
Well, I don't see a ton of live music, as you know. When I have gone to First Avenue, the few times I have, it's a delight. It's, I mean, obviously the history of the building is something that you just add on to it. But, I mean, it still stands up. It's just a great venue, good sight lines. Acoustics are very good. And they, you know, they put on a good show with whoever's playing there. But I will say, attending my first Target Field concert this past summer with Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins, that was pretty awesome. That was pretty darn awesome on a beautiful summer night. You got the big show, but it was still comfortable. You weren't, you know, I just posted up right on the first base side, lower concourse at a drink rail, and it was great.
Target Center is fantastic. Or Target Field, excuse me. Target Center's better, by the way. Notably better. They've spent money to improve the sound. I mean, the first 10, 15 years, the sound at Target Center for Music was disastrous. I mean,
it wasn't Metrodome bad, but it wasn't good.
For an arena, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Whereas the X is great and always has been great, don't you think?
Yes, it has.
The X, and they're going to push. There's going to be a big push coming out soon for money. Man, that building's holding up well for 20 years. Yeah, somebody raises Dakota. Adele at the Dakota. Man, sign me up for that show. Now, I mentioned before, I was lucky enough when Prince did his six shows, no connections, just called, and then this is during the Kieran days, and I said, take my phone, I'm on hold. There's an outside chance if I'm still on hold, I might get tickets to see Prince. Boom. Did. It was I think he did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we went to the Thursday 11 show, and it was absolutely spectacular. Here's a good one. Dua Lipa in my bed. Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Good show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good show.
That would be a good show. I'm not turning that one down either. Prince at Paisley Park. Awesome. We talked about this when Pete was on. Jim's on tomorrow, by the way. He's texting me on other hoop topics right now. I'm sort of doing a show. He saw Prince at Paisley Park. I did not. That was foolish. Surly. I haven't had a chance to see music at Surly, but everybody tells me.
I have once.
What'd you think?
It was good. I mean, it's, you know, big open field. So it's, you know, very similar to what you'd have at Harrod Island. But yeah, it was fine. It was an outdoor concert on an open field, so there's really nothing terribly special about it.
The Armory, a lot of good text coming in, 651-461-9226. The Armory is horrible for anybody near 5'6". And seats upstairs to the side suck. I only went up there one time, just briefly. I probably have had a chance to see 5-6 shows at the Armory. Yeah, it helps to be taller.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Elitist.
I'm a height elitist.
Yeah, do you find people that are 5-6 and below and just stand in front of them too?
I do. Wave my arms.
Wear a cowboy hat.
How many times do you think I've worn a cowboy hat?
I think you've got multiple. 10 gallons.
Mystic Lake.
They have a nice little spot.
Well, have you been to Treasure Island? Treasure Island spot's not bad either.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Plenty of We're lucky. We got a lot of with you. Our guy Roofsy checking in. Corey Roofs. I'm within First Ave, Main Street in Hopkins. Yeah, Corey, well, that's our guy Hagen, the greatest media relations guy ever in the history of Minnesota. Our guy Bob Hagen organizes a lot of events at Main Street in Hopkins. I'll also say this. Hopkins might be the most underrated downtown in the state of Minnesota. What about that? They now have great restaurants, fun places to hang out, tons of businesses, the bars if you want to get it done. The resurgence of Hopkins has been fantastic. I'm standing proud for Hopkins. And it kills me. Yeah. I can't say Golden Valley.
Hopkins needs your support. They've been really struggling. So thank you for that.
Exactly.
Not enough love for Hopkins.
You know, there's a lot of debate on, you know, civil rights right now and federal money cutoff and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Where have I drawn the line? Where am I standing right now? Hopkins deserves your attention. Pink Ivy, best restaurant in Hopkins. The drone situation turning out to be much ado about nothing. Let's discuss. I told you I was cutting back zero for a week, man.
Oh, well done.
Not a single one. As much as I love Pepsi in a can, no, I need to slow that down.
That's easy to do
dramatically
when the margaritas are stiff.
Oh, yes, Armando's and the margarita, good last night. Drone mania. We jumped in, right? We were a part of it.
Sure.
We didn't run from it. What was going on in December when they were everywhere? Did we feel left out here? Did we get the amount of drones in the Twin Cities area?
I don't think we did. And the fact that we call ourselves flyover country, yet we had no drones flying over us.
Yes. Very good. Very good. You know, then you have President-elect Trump say, oh, the government knows exactly what's going on. Oh, yeah. They're not telling us.
Yep.
You know what we should do? We should shoot them down. Okay. Now, the White House, not the Biden White House, but the Trump White House is confirming. You know what they were? They were just everyday citizens, recreational purposes. So when John Kirby said in the middle of December, when I was asking questions, you were asking questions, millions of people were asking questions, right? We assess that it's a combo of lawful commercial drones, hobbyist drones, law enforcement drones, fixed wing aircraft, helicopters, STARS. And people said, no way. They're lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
So now, should we just believe the Trump administration, Dave Harrigan?
Nope.
Or do we have a second administration lying to us about what is up in the air? Although the pushback, I guess, would be if they are just hobbyists mainly, have we just stopped, as the media and have individuals stopped reporting on them? Because do you ever see any reports, hey, over my house right now, there's 40 drones like we were hearing in December?
Yeah, no, we don't. And that's an awful lot of hobbyists to get together and all put their drones up into the air at the same time. No, I think the Trump White House has realized this goes deeper than they want to tell us, Chad. I think this smells awfully fishy. I'm not buying it for a second.
Okay, so in other words, Joe and Donald are in on it together.
I'm not saying they were in on it together, but I think Donald learned the truth. As he said, the government knows, and they're not telling us. Well, I think he knows now, and he says, yeah, maybe it was a good idea to keep that a little hush-hush.
Where are drones? Minnesota. Why are we? We have, apparently, according to Rena Sargentopoulos, we have licking centers.
Yes, we do.
We have places you can just go and start licking random strangers, right?
Yeah.
That's what we learned earlier in the day.
The Russia shows up.
But we don't have drones. What was that again?
DeRussia shows up. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Lapping it up. It's,
yeah. Jason DeRussia is a Channel 4 morning news guy, versatile. He can fill in wherever. We don't have random licking stations. Now, he's a shock jock. And, you know, he's featured. Apparently, we now have Instagram at our station where only Vanita and Jason are featured. That doesn't bug me at all, right? No, that doesn't bug me at all. Now that he's a shock jock, we've got licking stations. We don't have any drones.
Yeah, he shows up on the radio. You're right. He shows up on the radio. We get the licking stations. They take away the drones. Minnesota, we just can't have everything, can we?
Yeah, we can't. What would you rather have, Dave Harrigan? Licking stations or the drones?
Do you have to ask? Come on. We all know the answer to that.
Your Lindis construction time check is, hey, it's 157. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin. And you know what you'll get? Free installation.
Why don't you meet me and we'll shoot an Instagram video. Why don't you meet me downtown in 10 minutes?
Oh, I was around plenty of times.
Okay. Close the Marvin window on your face, you goof.